Hello and croeso to episode 95 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Unfortunately tonight, due to other commitments, for the first time in a long, long time, we are without both Tommy Cowse and Rodri on today's show. So I saw it as the perfect chance to get two competent podcasters in for a change. Friend of the pod, Nathan Davis, has asked on Twitter if this is the greatest double substitution in podcasting history. It's not really for me to say, but I do agree with the sentiment. So I'm joined by Lewis Sharp. Lewis, I've worked out, it's your 11th appearance on the pod. That's the same amount of caps as the likes of Ben Woodburn, Freddie Eastwood, Colin Pascoe, and Robbie Matondo. So I'm sure you live up to their calibre on the podcast tonight.
Wow, 11. I didn't think it'd be 11 yep. times. That's loads.
Yeah. Also joining us today is Megan Ferringer, who's making her 14th appearance on the pod.
Ooh, look at that. Sorry.
Massive. And the same amount of caps as the likes of Malcolm Allen, Darcy Blake, Tom Lockyer, and Jazz Richards.
I've always thought of myself as on par with Tom Lockyer and Jazz yeah. Richards, if I really think about it myself.
You don't want to be on par with Darcy Blake. That's one thing. Megan, before your time, Google Darcy Blake. The less said about him, the better. Although he was brilliant on his day. Anyway, Lewis, how's things with you? Nice to have you back on.
Good, good. I've had Easter break at home. And I've got my dissertation and an essay due next week. I just couldn't do any work at all. So I was meant to stay until like sort of this weekend, but I decided today I needed to go back to Cardiff. So I got back on the train today.
Perfect. So instead of doing your work, you've decided to podcast, and that's the sort of commitment. Yeah. you know, Rodri's out doing a night shift or something. You know, priorities, get your priorities right. And Megan, how are you? How's things?
I'm good. Yeah, I've just Googled Darcy Blake and I'm so interested. Yeah, but there's a Wales Online article that comes up quite quickly and it just says how former Cardiff City star Darcy Blake fell out of love with football and became a rugby player. And there's an exclamation point at the end of it. Mm. And I just find that to be really interesting journalism. But hey-o.
Hey, nothing like Wales Online for a bit of interest in journalism, mate. Let's start with the women's team. Two friendlies over the last week, a 4-1 win in Cardiff against Northern Ireland last Thursday, and a 1-1 draw out in Portugal last night. Similar to the previous international window in Pinatar, good results. So I'll start with the same question as I did last time we spoke, Megan. Has this been a good window for the Wales women's team?
I think it has. I'd definitely say it belongs in a positive camp. You can't put too much stock into friendlies just because that's a time for teams to experiment. And it's a really good time for obviously Gemma to experiment. I think she's done a really good job of trying to implement a somewhat new look Wales, if you want to call it that. She's still obviously relying on that core group. You've got Sophie Angharad and Jess in the midfield, and that's going to be it. But you know, the likes of Anna Kane, she got her first goal of her senior Wales career, which is a really big step. And I thought, especially against Northern Ireland, I thought she was wonderful. And against Portugal, she was sort of all over the place. So I thought she played really well. Esther Morgan coming back and getting at left back, which allows Rachel Rowe to get pushed forward, which we haven't really seen Rachel Rowe push forward in a Wales shirt competitively yet. So that's really exciting too. So for me, it's really positive just because I think Wales have been allowed to kind of expand and experiment, and going into, you know, September with the Nations League, it's going to be a really important time for Wales to push on and to be competitive. And you think about Portugal, they are 10 places above Wales in the rankings. And again, it's a friendly, so you can't put too much stock in there. They made 11 changes to the team that lost to Japan a couple of days earlier. But it's still a really good result for Wales, if not just in sort of confidence boosting for them and seeing like, okay, especially after that World Cup qualifying campaign, not making it at the, I'm sorry, the campaign previously, did I say World Cup? My brain's all over the place. But with the campaign previously and the heartbreak that was there, to come into these couple camps and have, and just obviously build, like there's tangible building that's being done. So yeah, I'd definitely say it's positive.
Yeah. Obviously, 4 goals against Northern Ireland. It's sort of been a weird few months for Wales, you know, at the end of the last campaign and the friendlies. Not a lot of goals. It's sort of been one thing solid at the back, but struggled to score. You know, one great goal, especially with a lovely team effort that Jess Fishlock finished off. Northern Ireland were the side who pipped us to Euro 2021 qualification. Do you think this shows that the team is improving? You've already sort of said that we can see a bit of progression under Gemma Granger, but you know, compared to, I think we drew 2-2 to Northern Ireland in yeah. qualifying in the last time we played them. So yeah, is this a sign of how far the team has come under Granger?
Absolutely. I don't think you can even compare the Wales that played last week to the Wales that was in 2021. I mean, they looked different, they played different, everything about them was different, except for obviously the players that were actually on the pitch, which is kind of ironic. But that's where you can see what Gemma really has done. And I think that's why so many people really were upset with that final performance in the qualifying campaign, because it almost looked like they had reverted back to the Wales of old, and I understand that they're playing, you know, really tough opponent and stuff, but this is a team that can be attacking and can score goals. And yes, it needs to be stressed again that Northern Ireland did not look good against Wales. Like, this was not a team that was necessarily going to give them a real competitive run. But when you look at 2 years ago, this was a team that, you said, like you said, that pipped them to the Euros. That's exactly it. So 100%, I think you can put this as a marker in the sand. And that's what Gemma's entire thing has been about, is putting a marker in the sand after every single game and ensuring that you're sort of eclipsing that marker the next time. And I can positively say that I think that that's what's happening now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was disappointing not to get the clean sheet. It was a bit of a sloppy goal to give away. You know, it could be argued that in the Portugal game, it was a little bit sloppy at the back, and Gemma Evans was probably lucky not to get a red card.
Yeah.
Is that an issue, that there is a mistake in this back line that has been particularly solid under Gemma Granger? Are we seeing mistakes creeping in, or is that just sort of friendlies? Should we be concerned? Yeah.
No, I think it's just friendlies. I think, especially because Gemma's kind of pushing them to get forward and stuff, you're going to see the back potentially falter at some points. And that's just pretty much natural. But that's why we have friendlies. And that's why you have these opportunities to sort of play and make sure that these mistakes get out of the way while they can before going into the Nations League in September. So it's nothing to really be concerned about. You'd almost be more concerned if, like, those mistakes, not that if those mistakes weren't happening, but if those mistakes weren't sort of like being looked at and scrutinized, if those were because they are so abnormal, you don't see Gemma Evans ever really faltering. And because when they suddenly happen, it's like, oh, whoa, is Gemma Evans okay? I think that's a good sign of sort of where the defense is and the standard that defense has been held to, and that they held themselves. So I don't think I'd be too concerned. I mean, not to bring England into it, but England lost to Australia last night, or when we're recording this podcast. And I mean, you can look at the England defense over the last couple of months and say that they have been impenetrable. They have been absolutely incredible. And against Australia, they were brittle. So just, it happens. Like, that's what occurs. So no, I wouldn't say that. And Gemma Evans and Hayley Ladd, I still think that they're one of the best defensive centre-back pairings that Wales has ever had. Mm-hmm. And I'll stand by that.
Yeah, I totally agree. You did touch on Gemma Granger's reluctance to sort of rotate her starting 11, you know, even in friendlies, you know, over the last two camps. Do you think that might be something that could come to bite us on the arse going forward? The fact we're not giving the fringe players game time, and we're just sort of sticking to what we know, because all it takes is 3 or 4 injuries, and you know, there isn't much experience, international experience, below you know, 13 or 14 players that she continuously uses.
Yeah, well, I'll give her this. She's changing her squad, and she's bringing subs in far more than she was previously. Against Northern Ireland, she made 5 subs, and she just didn't. Yeah, she just didn't do that previously. I remember wanting to tear my hair out at the 80th minute and wondering why the heck she hadn't made any subs. So she is doing it. I think she's one of those that's playing it very safe. She's slowly starting to bring players in. I mean, Olivia Clark is now the starting goalkeeper. So I think that's already, you're starting to see that. She really rates Esther Morgan, and not having Esther Morgan in the back end of that qualifying campaign was really tough. Hannah Kane, boom, is straight into the squad once she's recovered. So already she actually has kind of changed up the squad a little bit. She shook it up. I love seeing Megan Wynn being able to get in, and Elise Hughes as well. All of those players are coming in. And Fionn Morgan, I mean, when she came on in that qualifying campaign, she made such an impact as a substitute. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some games where maybe she's used as a starter and Esther Morgan or whoever is sort of replacing her on the 60th, 70th minute. So I'll give Gemma credit. She's definitely starting to sort of be a little bit more adventurous in her subs and a little bit more positive in those subs. And I think in the summer when Wales play the US, that's really going to have to tell. And, you know, I hope that Gemma doesn't just play it safe against the US. I really hope that she experiments and she tries new things, because that's, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the world at the moment. So, you know, what does Wales have to lose?
Yeah. Obviously, we've got the Nations League on the horizon. The draw is the 2nd of May. You know, it's a respectable 1-1 draw in Portugal. It's a good sign headed into that campaign. Obviously, next up, like you've already touched on, is a trip to California to take on the reigning world champions, the USA. Megan, you're American, mm-hmm. of course.
I am. That is true.
How brilliant is it, first of all, that we can test ourselves against the best in the world? You've already touched on nothing to lose. But also, it's yet more visibility for Wales as a nation in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I know. I put it all down to Robin Ryan.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely do. There, I don't think that it is a coincidence that Wrexham are going to go do a whole American tour and Wales women happen to be going to San Jose during the July. Like, I just don't find that coincidental whatsoever. And I think it's really wonderful. I think it's fantastic. And I love that it's not just the men's football bandwagon that a lot of Americans are getting to sort of jump onto in terms of the Welsh football. It's also the women's, and that's huge. It's wonderful. And yeah, like you said, it puts Wales on the map. I remember when I first moved here, most people will know the story. My sister said, let's move to Cardiff. And I said, I love Switzerland. And I ended up looking at a map and discovering that Wales was not only a country, but it was well north of where I'm used to. So yeah, I think most Americans now can tell you exactly where Wales is. My sister lives in Philadelphia. There's Wales flags everywhere. She wears a Wales bucket hat to go for her runs. And she's like a semi-professional runner all over the state. So yeah, I think Wales is definitely getting on the map. And this is only further proof of a really kind of cool relationship that the US and the Welsh are sort of building. And I'm not going to say that I started it, because I didn't. But also, like, I was here well before Robin Ryan were, so.
Well, I was just about to say, you know, you said it was Robin Ryan, but you came first before Robin Ryan and sort of made Welsh football cool in America. So, Megan, take the plaudits, absolutely.
I will take my award and run to San Jose if anyone would like to send me on a plane.
I'm very, very lucky. I couldn't believe it when I saw the announcement. I'm already going to be in the States, well, in California for a wedding in San Francisco, which is a short drive away from San Jose. So I'll be there. Couldn't believe my luck. I think what the plan is, I've spoken to Penny from Wild Goch Ymenewod, and we're going to try and do like a meetup pre-match. So if there's any expats, I don't know if any expats listen or anyone is planning, we can sort of have a little Welsh get-together pre-match in California, which will be a lot of fun. So yeah, that is the women's international break. Like I said, it feels like a weird time for Welsh women's football, because we still don't know who we're playing in the autumn. We're not in the World Cup, so it's just sort of friendlies and treading water for now. The club story of the weekend is, of course, Wrexham. What a game. I luckily turned over as Cardiff went 1-0 down on the 70th minute. It was still 1-1 in the Wrexham game, and it all went batshit crazy. So I only caught 20 minutes, but it was the best 20 minutes. Yeah, if you've been living under a rock, Wrexham beat Notts County 3-2 with a super Ben Foster penalty save in the 95th minute to secure the 3 points. There's still, I think, 4 games to go, Lewis. Can Wrexham fuck it up from here?
I wouldn't think so. But then at the same time, if you look at their, even the sort of last season, they were sort of in and around and very much favourites going into the playoffs. If there's anybody, you'd like to think that those sort of days are over now. So I'd like to say no, but they can't.
I love that, Lewis, you're about to say if there were any team that could potentially fuck the situation up, it'd be Wrexham. Like, what a laurel to have.
Those words in my mouth. Like, I didn't say it. I meant it.
Yeah, it's a kind run-in. Barnet away, Torquay away, who are already relegated. That's the last game of the season. Yeovil at home, who are struggling. That's the game in hand. And Boreham Wood. So it is in their favour. I think that game in hand is massive. And I just think that win changed everything, really. Of course, despite his absence, we couldn't leave you without some words from from Wrexham's Tommy Cowse on the game. He sent us this voice note this afternoon.
Oh, it was absolutely unbelievable. Just a class, class day, to be honest. Great day to be a Wrexham fan. Yeah, very, very stressful. You know, obviously going 1-0 down at half time. And then, yeah, the second half, obviously Wrexham just took control and there was only ever going to be one winner. The interesting thing was Notts County. I mean, that's the way they play. You can't knock them. They weren't going to change it just because they were playing Wrexham away. But they held such a high line and, yeah, Wrexham exploited it to perfection in the end. But, yeah, to me, I thought it was just suicidal the way they played, really. Wrexham took full advantage. And it was absolutely brilliant. Just another great day, thankfully. Atmosphere was just something else throughout the game. Fans didn't stop singing. Even going 1-0 down, players came out for the second half. Just incredible. And, just another special day. Atmosphere's been awesome all season, in fairness. Some Notts County fans online now sort of saying, oh, you know, we want to try and replicate that sort of atmosphere at Meadow Lane. So I think that speaks volumes as well. Didn't hear a peep at the county fans, I've got to say. But just incredible. And, you know, a lot of people sort of have a pop at Wrexham saying about the tourists and stuff now. But I tell you what, you wouldn't think it was, a lot of tourists at the game with the atmospheres that we've been getting. So long may it continue. Hope it carries on. I think now the big thing is just to keep it going, really. Barnet away this Saturday. Really tough game. Barnet, a good side, especially going forward. It's not going to be easy by any stretch, but I think 7 points from the last four games now will be enough. I'd like to think that's doable. Two home games, two away, two tough away games. Obviously, Barnet this weekend, Torquay on the last day. Always fancy us to win at home. So if we can, you know, grab a point at Barnet this weekend, I think it'll be a reasonable result. And that should be it. Certainly if we beat Barnet this weekend, we're in touching distance. So, absolutely amazing. I won't believe it until we get there, though. We've had that many false dawns that I won't allow myself to believe it till it happens. But, yeah, let's hope we're there now.
Thank you very much, Tommy Cowse. You are my hero. Megan, you're always guaranteed drama in a Wrexham game. But that was on another level.
It's kind of crazy how much they seem to like eclipse every game. Like every game I watch of Wrexham, I'm like, golly, the drama can't get bigger than that. And the next time I'm like, oh my God, my heart's about to burst. So they do well to one-up themselves every week.
I know you couldn't watch the game and had to follow on Twitter. How tense were you in those final moments, especially when the penalty was given?
So I was sitting at a Costa in Liverpool, like trying to update my phone, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. So I was getting live updates from you, live updates from my parents who were watching from home on ESPN, and live updates, like attempting to get live updates on Twitter. And at one point I spilled over my child chai tea latte, and the person next to me was like very upset by the fact that some of it got on him. But I tried to explain, like, I'm trying to figure out the Wrexham score, and he didn't quite understand like the turmoil that I was going through. So It was really frustrating. But yeah, when you texted me that he had saved it, and then Twitter sort of like just like vomited up the fact that he had saved it. Oh my gosh, I went ballistic at that Costa coffee. So I'm sorry to the Costa coffee at the Liverpool Lime Street station, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day when they get over the line. I really hope they do. And hopefully, I think the plan is to, well, I mean, he doesn't know this yet, but I want a drunken voice note from Cowse the night they get promoted, because that man can go, that man can party when he wants. And I just think the party he will have the night Wrexham get promoted will be like no other. Elsewhere in the EFL, Cardiff City had a mixed weekend, a win over Blackpool on Friday and a defeat against Sunderland. We're still somehow not in the relegation zone, but it's not looking good still. Six games to play. Anything can happen. I think that Cardiff City season will be decided in games against Rotherham and Huddersfield. So big old games to come. Meanwhile, Swansea are very much on the beach now. A 0-0 draw in Coventry and a comfortable 2-0 win over Wigan. But they can very much do Cardiff a favour next weekend by beating Huddersfield, so that would be nice. Megan, obviously, middle of the season, weren't too far off the playoffs, almost a little bit of a dabble with relegation a couple of weeks ago, but it's been quite an underwhelming season for the Swans, isn't it?
Yeah, underwhelming is the operative word there. It's such a shame because they're only 9 points off the playoffs, and you think about the games that they just shouldn't have lost. You think about those games where sort of there was a last-minute goal or injury time goal or just silly mistakes in defence and trying to play out from the back. But when things click, they click. And you know, against the 0-0 draw against Coventry was quite drag. But Wigan, I thought they played well, and you know, Joel Pirro's the number of the goals he's gotten this season, considering how underwhelming, like you said, it's been, is really impressive. So it's a shame because I do think Pirro will leave in the summer. I just can't see him staying around. And yeah, I thought that this season was going to be at least playoffs, and I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't. I'm actually not sure what I said in my preseason preview. I bet you I did say it was going to be underwhelming. We were going to finish like 14th. But I was hoping that I'd be wrong. So I'm sad to say that I might have been right.
Well, I'm going to go back and listen to the season previews in a couple of weeks once the season's over, when we do our season review episode, Megan. So I'll be sure to remind you if you've got it terribly wrong.
Thank you.
I actually, on Pirro, I saw that he'd scored his 40th goal for Swansea, and he's only been there two seasons, which is some going.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for them to keep hold of him, especially with Swansea's record of keeping their better players. At Newport, their Easter weekend was a little bit bizarre. A 3-0 win on Friday over promotion chase in Northampton, and then a 4-0 defeat to Stockport. So, a bit hot and cold here. I do feel bad that we haven't spoken much about Newport this year, but it's just been quite a quiet season. They lower mid-table, could probably go down with a terrible run at the end of the season, but I'm sure they won't. We'll catch up with Billy Webber, the 1912 Exiles boys, at the end of the season. And if you do want to hear more about Newport County, the 1912 Exiles podcast is the place to go. If you want to hear more, because I do feel like we don't do them justice, considering how much other things there is to speak about at the moment. And finally, Merthyr had a hell of a game on Friday. They beat Beaconsfield 5-3, and then lost 2-1 to Yate on Monday. Unfortunately, their playoff push didn't really materialise, but the Merthyr fans won't be complaining after they did suffer relegation in the same league last season. Again, we'll do the season review in a few weeks' time, and we'll catch up with Louis of the Disturbed District then. In the Cymru leagues, it was a week dominated by off-the-pitch issues, as it tends to be this time of the season. With Haverford West not being awarded a licence and Flid versus Carnarvon being abandoned due to crowd trouble, we also had the Connors Quay owner, Gary Dewhurst, kicking off on Twitter about a potential ban, because I think he called Noel Mooney an Irish chancer on Twitter a few weeks ago. Not good luck for the Cymru leagues this week. And Lewis, it just seems to be the same old story once again. Licensing issues will dominate how the league looks next season, no doubt. And it's just really frustrating for a league we're trying to improve, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, but on the same, like in the same vein, you've got to respect why the FAW have these licensing
Absolutely.
Rules, because if you want football to grow on the pitch for, you know, from the juniors all the way up to first team, and even impact hopefully in the future, it'll even impact our national team, you need the licensing to be in place. But totally understand that, like, we want our teams to be proper football clubs in the Cymru Premier, and it's sort of, if the teams can't really focus on the pitch as much because they have to worry about the licensing and stuff off the pitch every season, especially for instance like Haverford West, and I think I saw something about Aberystwyth as well, might have to pay quite a lot of money, which could mean that they don't get to sign players over the summer or something. So it's a really difficult thing to comment on, really. But then at the same time, like I said, you have sort of got to have those measures in place as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? If you want to improve the league, then we've got to keep standards up. But also, if the clubs can't keep up the standards, then there is a conversation that needs to be had. And it's just, you know, if, like you said, you mentioned Aberystwyth, I think Newtown, I saw someone suggest that they had a provisional license based on some work they need doing. We could end up with Airbus staying up with minus 4 points, which would just completely, you know, make a joke of the league. Obviously, in regards to the crowd trouble at Flint, details have been really hard to come by and understandable whilst there's an investigation happening. I don't really know what happened again. Very limited details. It's not a good look for the league. And we have spoke about it in the past. This is the sort of thing that ends up getting national media coverage. And it just gives the general public and people who may not follow the league that much such a negative view of the league. You know, I'm sure the investigation will play out and it'll be solved. But it's just another frustrating thing to add to the list, isn't it, Lewis?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're not in any place to sort of comment on it because, as you mentioned, I don't know either what happened in detail. But like the league's sort of come on leaps and bounds recently, and it seems that for every positive thing that happens and the positive bit of news that gets out, there always seems to be something similar to this that sort of brings us back down. Mm. And you can't really grow a league if you continue to have issues like this off the pitch. And you mentioned it even then that hopefully, and I'm sure that they will sort of solve it, but it's something that really, really can't become a regular thing now. It has to be nipped in the bud straight away. And I really hope that fans of other teams don't sort of see this and think, you know, like perhaps when we play against Flint or we play against Carnarvon, then it's going to be something similar, because that type of culture is something that should be so distant from Welsh football if we want to grow the leagues like what we talk about every week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that sort of knock-on effect that, you know, you'll get hangers-on who would just want to go for it, cause a bit of trouble because they think they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, really frustrating. It feels like just a bad week for the league in general. But yeah, anyway, on the pitch though, TNS continued to piss all over the league with a 5-2 win against Penobont. It was such a strange, I was at the game, it's so strange because Penobont were in it and it was 2-1. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just scored twice, TNS, and they were 4-1 up. So they scored their 106th goal of the season in 30 games, which is just an absolutely incredible number. So fair play to them for all, you know, always slag them off, and I know they have the edge because they have more money and they're professional, but they're just an absolute juggernaut. So fair play. Connors Key as good as qualified for Europe with a win over Cardiff Met. Not mathematically possible yet, although if Penobont do get the 6 points deducted, then they are qualified. That appeal is still yet to be decided, so no doubt we'll have more off the pitch stuff to talk about soon. Airbus got only their second point of the campaign with a 1-1 draw with Aberystwyth. And I guess, it, you know, other than the obvious issues it's caused, it's bad news for Flint as well, because they were 2-0 up at the time and could really have done with those points. Although it may be for nothing if Haverford West don't get the licence and end up being relegated anyway. So, yeah, we'll see how all that plays out in the coming weeks. Two games to go in the Cymru Premier. Colwyn Bay promoted and Barry promoted, so and they both achieved their license, so we'll definitely see them both next season, which is fantastic news. And finally, in the news segment, the FAW announced today that they bid alongside the FAs of England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland to host Euro 2028 has been officially submitted to UEFA. Megan, how do you feel about this?
I feel like it's a little bit like the US saying they're going to host the World Cup and 8 of the 10 cities are going to be in New York. So, I think it's a little bit tokenistic. I think that there's an obvious big winner in when this bid is potentially taken up. And I don't think Wales is necessarily that one. So it's a little disheartening, especially because of, like with North Wales getting as much public or recognition as it's getting around the world. I mean, Robin Ryan and Wrexham's media team, you do a fantastic job before every game. They have that map that goes up and it's kind of shows where everyone's watching from. And if that's not testament to how big it's gotten and how much North Wales, it's just a hotbed. Like it, the potential there to really do something is wonderful. And I get that they've got, you know, Everton's going to host a game and whatnot, but you know, for them to just single out one stadium in Wales, I think is quite poor. And same with Scotland, it's just Hampstead. And then you've got two in Ireland and then it's all England. So no, I think it's very poor. And I'm surprised that everyone's agreed to it. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that conversation.
Yeah, it feels quite tokenistic to me. And I guess for the FAW, there is going to be money to be made, which obviously, you know, whether we like it or not, that is the game. And, you know, and I'd like to think that money will go back into the game in grassroots. So that's a positive for hosting it. I just feel like the FAW is such a good job in changing our identity and making us sort of be seen as like this independent football nation on the world stage. And now we've sort of just been thrown in with the other, you know, in quotation marks, home nations to host this tournament in a ground we don't even use. And, you know, I think the Millennium Stadium, I don't think it's a great football ground, but it's one of the best grounds in the world in terms of location. And I've no doubt Cardiff will be a great city to host some international games, you know, as a neutral, maybe, you know, having Germany versus Portugal in Cardiff will be great, you know, and the fans on the streets, it will be good. But not really a fan of it necessarily. And I think from a fan's perspective, as Welsh fans, I think we'd all rather watch a tournament abroad than go to like fucking Villa Park or something. Turkey are the other bid. That would be great, I think, a tournament in Turkey, especially in June. I think we'll all get a suntan there. Lewis, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, not much else I could say, really. You two hit the nail on the head. I just think it's very tokenistic, as you mentioned, and I was going to say exactly what you said, Ryan, in the sense that the FAW have made massive strides in terms of our identity and becoming an independent football nation. And then, you know, there's pros and cons to it, but I just feel like, you know, perhaps Wales being misrepresented in the whole idea, really. And in reality, it's more sort of an England bid rather than a home nation bid.
Yeah, and I saw that the semi-finals and the final will be all played in Wembley it was like the fans' sake and like transport's sake, but like great that they're finally thinking of the fans, but like there's no reason why they can't host one in Cardiff and one in Edinburgh.
In
Glasgow. Yeah, I think Croke Park. No, it's not Croke Park, is it? It's the Aviva in Ireland that's the ground. You know, or even St. James's Park and the Millennium as the semi-finals, you know. In the grand scheme of things, the UK is fairly easy to get around. It's not like the previous Euros tournament, which took place, you know, across the whole continent. And the fact that, you know, Wembley just had semi-finals and finals as well, and they made a bloody mess of it on the day of the final. It's just a bit of a shame. And, you know, if again England get as far as the final and completely shit the bed like they did in Euro 2020, we're part of that then, you know, our names on it. I don't know. I'm a little bit, I just don't think it's.
Tell them how you really feel, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't know. I just. I think it's just because I like going abroad to watch Wales. I don't want to go to Villa Park, so.
Yeah, there is an element of Wales away that is really exciting. And like, if you're only traveling like 45 minutes on the train, the whole sort of spectacular fantasy of Wales away gets a little dried up, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I assume we'd probably we'll probably play I was just reading a text and came through. I assume we'll probably play most of our games in the Millennium as well, which sort of takes away the fun of it. And tournaments don't come around often, you know, this is why you want them to be exciting. So yeah, we'll see what comes of that. You never know, Turkey might win the bid. But yeah, we'll see. I think that covers everything in week.
I've got something.
Megan, go for it.
This Sunday, for anyone who's around Newtown, is Wrexham Women versus Britain Ferry in the promotion final to get into the Ajahn Premier. So a really big game. Both teams have had absolutely incredible seasons. And I think a lot of neutrals watching will probably want to see a Wrexham win. But I will say the Britain Ferry have had an absolutely fantastic season, and they're a really well-run club. They've worked really, really hard over the last couple of years in order to get their licensing in place. And it's been a long, long haul for them. But yeah, I think that it's going to be a really good game. I'm going down there. So if you're down in Newtown, I highly recommend going if you're anywhere near there. And don't be afraid to say hi.
Yeah, the issue with Newtown is there is nowhere near there.
I've discovered this when I looked at Trainline, and I was like, oh wow, I really can't get there unless I ask someone for a ride. So
yeah,
devastating.
But yeah, absolutely, it's a big game, and I think like you said, everyone will talk about Wrexham, but Britain Ferry ladies have done an absolutely fantastic job this season. They're in the Welsh Cup final as well, so yeah, fair play to them, and they would totally deserve, I think both teams deserve promotion, but yeah, we'll see how all that pans out. Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't tie down Adrian Phillips for a chat, but he did send us a voice note to update us on his current situation.
So, just an update of what I've been up to. I'm currently sat in my car. Or van, whatever, it doesn't matter. Right, so I took Jonathan Hotspur's John Dog and Alan Florida out for a celebratory drink after their signing of new contracts. They re-signed for next year, which is brilliant news. We don't even know what league we're going to play in next year, but anyway, so we took them out to a pub, the old fence and lamppost in the Rhondda, and when we were there, we had a couple of pints. Next minute, this fat, bald man walked in, and his name was like Andrew something, or Andy really thick, or Andrew R.T. Davis. And he started talking. And Red Allen left quickly to get something. He didn't come back, luckily. But anyway, so we were just ignoring this fat bloke Thompson in the corner, and people are throwing stuff at him, and people are spitting at him, which isn't nice, but, you know, people like him aren't really welcomed on that part of the world. But anyway, we were there for a few hours drinking, and this guy was talking, and no one was listening to him. But a really weird thing has happened since. Subliminally, some of these clowns might have taken in what he's been saying, because they can't tell the truth. Alan Florida started lying to me about his drinking. We all know he likes a pint, and he said he stopped drinking. Jonathan Hotspur denies all knowledge of him having a fake horse's leg. Well, it's a joke. So what I'll say is, if you see a fat, bald man walking into a pub with no sleeves on his jacket, ignore him, or try and get him to leave, or go to next door's pub, because he doesn't talk any sense. So that is what I've been up to. Apologies for not being able to have an interaction, but signal is crap where I am, and I've got stuff to do. I've got better things to do than talk to those three idiots. But yeah, so more signings to be announced next week, along with hopefully a league, but stay tuned. Phillips out.
Part two, then. We'll pretend that we don't do Wrong Another Week anymore, because I once again forgot the poll. I was at a wedding on Friday, so please give me a break, for crying out loud. Maybe Wrong and will return. Who knows? I'm fed up with it. I don't know if anyone else can tell.
I think maybe it's okay to ditch it. There's a lot of negativity in this world, and calling out all the negativities.
Exactly, Megan.
It's ignorance is bliss, man.
We're positive people, baby. We're positive people.
Why don't you want a new segment that's like something
that like has made you happy of the week?
Yeah, we could do.
No, because that makes you want to throw up if you talk about it out loud.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, I saw a really nice dog today on the way to work.
That was such a better idea in my head.
Yeah. Although, actually, come to think of it, I'm sure while I was in the toilet at the wedding and I had a little check of the old phone, Paul Burns, friend of the pod, a regular question asker, sent a really good idea, and I'll have to dig it out. Here it is. He said, how about next week you put to the vote your favourite football or sports films, and then if you wanted, you could pick a theme each week for the best or favourite thing and do a wrong one once a month. You know what, Paul? Nice idea. I'll revisit that when I have more time to think, so rather than just doing admin on the pod live. Which I'm currently doing, and people are probably tuning out in their numbers now. Let's start with Barry Daniels has asked, any news on Tommy Cowes getting the freedom of the city of Jester? That is actually where he is currently. He's in the ceremony, getting the freedom of Chester, because he spoke so highly of them on a previous podcast. Chris Peplow, he's asked, steak dinner, how do you have the steak cooked and do you have potatoes or chips? Also, what sauce? He said, can't be asked asking a football-related question. Keep up the good work. Chris, no one could be asked asking a football-related question, so you are not alone. Megan, I know you're not much of a meat eater. I know you dabble in veganism.
This feels like kind of an odd question for me to answer.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm gonna compromise myself.
But in an ideal world, how would you have your steak cooked? What would be your side, and what would be your sauce?
I think my dad always orders medium rare, so I'm gonna go with that. Cause I think the way that you order a steak is like pretty identifying of who you are as a person.
Okay.
And like your character, or maybe that's just in America, but people get like really into it all. So I'd say medium rare, and I like potatoes, so I'm gonna go with potatoes. And does it need a sauce? Like if it's a good steak, doesn't it just sort of like come out all perfect and wonderful?
Yeah, a fair point. In terms of potatoes, what sort of potatoes though? I mean, you know, there's a wide range of potatoes.
So the ones where they're sort of small and sort of cut in half and they're all crispy on the outside, they got a bit of sort of like green garnish on top of them and a little bit of salt, and you eat it and it's like you've actually taken a bite of heaven, and it just sort of makes all of the sadness around you melt away. That is the potato of my dreams.
Yeah, that is that.
Actually, the ones I ate in Slovenia were pretty close to it. So
okay,
yeah.
Lewis, your thoughts on a steak dinner? How would you play it?
I like a rare steak.
Yeah, ooh, here he is, big man, Lewis.
Yeah, I do, and it, you know, people, I wouldn't go for like a blue steak. That's like a look at me, look how hard I am.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's just certifiably insane, and I don't think anyone actually enjoy it.
rare steak. I'd like sort of like a triple cooked chips, nice and crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside, and peppercorn sauce.
Oh yeah,
and that would go over the chips, maybe a little bit on the steak, but mostly over the chips.
I think I'm with you there, Lewis. Although I do go medium. I'm not afraid to say I'm a medium man. On the rarer side of medium, but I've been caught out a few times going medium rare, and it's just a little bit too rare. So play it safe, because most places tend to, you know, cook it less than you ask anyway. So there you are. And, yeah, peppercorn sauce and good chips. Cannot fault it. The official Llantwit Major account has asked, would you rather fight a Mr. Blobby-sized dinosaur or a dinosaur-sized Mr. Blobby? I'm assuming in celebration of their fantastic new kits, really interesting goalkeeper shirt in the Mr. Blobby design. Megan, I assume
the
you don't.
Former, 100%. I mean, if there was a dinosaur a dinosaur sized Mr. Blobby, I'd be utterly freaking terrified. I've never seen a children's show as horrifying as what you guys were put through in your childhood.
I was going to ask you if you knew the context around Mr. Blobby, but it is the most unsettling thing of all time, isn't it?
Yeah, I YouTubed it just because I was curious, and I thought that in America, us watching Barney, who was a talking purple dinosaur, was pretty off-putting. I mean, what you all went through as children, I am so surprised that this country is still relatively stable.
Isn't it?
I mean. Yeah, maybe that's why it is the way that it is. But yeah, I was horrified. I can't put into words how completely rattled I was watching it. I even just thinking about it now, I've actually had shivers go down my back. It is one of the most gruesome things I've ever watched. And yeah, it's a children's show apparently. So kudos to all you kids who made it through childhood in the UK, because they did not make it easy for you.
Yeah, Lewis, I'm assuming you're not really of age to have Mr. Blobby'd, but I'm sure you are aware of him. So would you rather fight a Mr. Blobby-sized dinosaur or a dinosaur-sized Mr. Blobby?
I think a dinosaur-sized Mr. Blobby.
Oh, you would fancy smashing a Blobby?
Well, more the fact that like dinosaurs would like physically rip me apart.
True. Yeah. Give you that.
But then I guess, which way would you prefer to go out?
Yeah.
Would you rather die to a dinosaur? Or
is death the only? Is that the only end product of this meeting between?
I'd say so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. I'll have to mull it over, but probably a Mr. Blobby-sized dinosaur, because I just don't think I could face Mr. Blobby. And we'll see. Evan Williams asking the important questions. What is the lowest temperature you would call shorts weather? I'm sure these two answers from the two of you are going to completely differ. Megan, you're from the swamp. You're from the south of the States. You know, how hot does it need to be in Wales for you to whap on the shorts?
It's got to be in the 20s. I don't go unless I've got, so I'll wear shorts and then I'll end up wearing like two hoodies on top of it, like two giant hoodies, and then that's fine because I'll go for a run or something and I'm all like, you know, warmed up. But no, regular shorts weather, I'm just casually walking around the park enjoying my time, it's got to be in the 20s.
Yeah, I'm probably with you there. I'm shorts last ditch. I think I do buck the male trend, because some men just cannot wait to get the shorts out. Some don't even stop wearing the shorts, which it's hard to respect that. Lewis, what do you think of the shorts conundrum?
I'd say I'm so in between you and the shorts all year round. I don't understand the people who say, oh, my legs don't get cold. That is nonsense. Your legs
cold's
do
only
cold.
A mentality, people. Really freak me out.
And like, especially like, I remember when we had snow here like a month, 2 months ago, and like I saw some people out wearing shorts, and that's like a massive look at me, I don't feel the cold, when in reality they're freezing. But I'd say ideal temperature, I think I'd be able to handle 15 plus.
I could probably do it. I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing it, I think. It
depends what you're doing as well. Obviously, if you're walking around, you're going to be a bit more warmer. But if you're just sort of sat outside having a coffee, then you might be looking at 17 pluses.
Yeah. I didn't take shorts to Split, and I don't think I regretted it. But that was just on the edge. So anyone who's in Split, that will be my verdict. Lady Pixie has asked, how many Easter eggs did you scoff? A very timely question. Megan, are you much of an Easter egg eater? How many did you eat?
I didn't know this was even a thing. So for our Easter, we do like, you know, church stuff back home, because I come from the deep south, and that's what we do. And then, yeah, we always get plastic Easter eggs, and they've got money in it, and you hide them around the house, and you get that. So I've actually never eaten an Easter egg or consumed one, because I'd probably die off the plastic until I got here. And I didn't eat one this year, so I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah. I had one and too many cream eggs. They're sort of my vice at Easter. Lewis, what about you?
I had two, one off my sister, one off my mum. But I'm not a cream egg enjoyer, Ryan.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think they're far too sickly.
I think that's why I like them. Yeah. I want to feel ill after eating chocolate. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, one big one and a couple of cream eggs. I say a couple, probably about four cream eggs over the weekend, maybe five at a push. The Podfather, Alan March, he has asked, there are so many beautiful places in Wales. So where would you live if you had the choice, in the city, in the countryside, or by the sea? Megan, we'll start with you. I'm intrigued by this one. What do you think?
Easy. I'd be up in Anglesey. Hands down. Absolutely gorgeous place. Anyone who knows me, that is where I spend my summer, and I'm just the happiest little goober you've ever seen. And I'm near Snowdon, so I can go hike a mountain, and I never jump in the water because it's too cold and I want to tear up when it happens. But if I get enough wine in me, I totally will, and I'm such a happy person. So yeah, if I could, I would, but I've got enough finances to barely pay for an apartment at where I'm currently. So yeah, if someone wants to win the lottery and buy me a house up in Anglesey, I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, a good answer. I think really with Wales, you can't go wrong, because in a lot of parts of Wales, I would pick Cardiff because you're in the city. It's like a 15-minute drive to the countryside and a 15-minute drive to the sea. So you've got it all. It's all there on your doorstep. God, I miss Cardiff. Lewis, what about you? What would you pick?
I think this question was made for me.
Yeah.
Because you got the hustle and bustle of Bangor. And then, like, you know, 15-minute drive and you're in Llanberis at the, you know, Snowdonia, the foot of Snowdon and stuff. And then, you know, 15, 20-minute drive to sort of Newburgh Beach, maybe a little bit more than that, and sort of Rosneiger Beach and Anglesey. So I think I grew up in the most ideal place in the world. And I don't think I realised that until I moved to Cardiff and then went back for summers and stuff. And I think I took it all for granted. But I genuinely think Bangor is the best place in the world to live.
Well,
not even just in Wales.
That makes one person who said that ever. I don't think I've ever heard anyone proclaim that Bangor is the best place in the world to live.
Maybe not the world.
Hey, Lewis, back yourself. Back Bangor. What a place.
In Wales, definitely.
Matthew Davis has said, who'd win in a tag match if Megan and Lewis took on Tommy Cowse and Rodri with Ryan as special guest referee? I'll answer this on behalf of everyone involved. It would be Megan and Lewis, because Rodri is just a broken man nine days out of ten. And Cowse is just... he's on a different planet, so I think Megan and Lewis would have the brains to beat them both. I don't know how you feel about that, either of you. Any comments?
I thought, agree. Was this like a game of tag?
Like, no, like tag team wrestling match.
Oh wow, this was such a different physical contest than the one that I had in my mind.
Well, you thought you'd have to like run away from them both to make sure you weren't getting tagged.
I genuinely had like a school grounds sort of image in my brain. So
yeah, wow. Well, there we are. Yeah, that would be a very different thing. I'd actually rather watch Tommy and Rodri chase the two of you in a game of tag. That would be something. Ben James,
let's think about in the next live show.
Yeah, there we are. Wrestling ring. Well, episode 100 is coming up, so who knows what could happen. Ben James, of View from the Ninian fame, asked Monzo or Revolut. Very bank heavy question. Megan, do you have a preference?
I have a Monzo.
There's your answer.
Yeah, I do actually have one, because when I go to the States, I realized very quickly that if I used my actual bank card, I was just going to get fined a lot. And I didn't like to do that. So yeah, I got a Monzo, and I actually really like it. And the card color is very pretty, and it goes nicely in my wallet. So yeah, I hope Monzo gives me a little bit of a perk here or something. I've just done the marketing for him.
If they do want to sponsor the pod, I am open to it. Lewis, are you a Monzo or Revolut man, or are you a traditional bank man?
Traditional bank.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm not really au fait with the new banking stuff. My mum was telling me, you know, when I go abroad to have one. But I always prefer to carry money when I'm abroad.
Lewis, you're like 7 years younger than me, and you sound like you're about 30 years older.
Yeah, I know. Well, we different upbringings, right?
Different upbringings. You know, it's the hustle and bustle of Bangor. You know, It's a different world.
Lewis reminds me of the kind of person who'd still walk around with a flip phone and be like, because I don't like all the touch screens. Like that, that is the energy that you have.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, I don't really understand. Well, I say don't understand, it's easy, but I just can't be bothered to like set up the account, transfer money into it.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of faff.
Yeah, I think Monzo changed the game. Big fan of Monzo. I do have a Starlin account as well. So big shout out to Starlin. Revolut, who are Revolut? Don't even want to know them. Right, finally, we're on our last question. I thought there was a lot more than we actually had. The 94th minute has asked, as a combined effort, if you could create a 10 ground Euros using just Welsh League grounds, which 10 grounds would you use? Megan, we'll start with you. Obviously, you've been around the block a few times now for various jobs.
Sounded like such a weird euphemism, but yes.
Yeah, we'll skip over that and pretend I never said it. Any grounds that you've visited in the Welsh leagues that you'd like to see included in a Euros bid, which you would no doubt not win?
Well, I have two very obvious ones. The first one's got to be the race course, because I just thought that was one of the most like magical old grounds I have ever been to in my life. It was unbelievable. And Windmill Lane, for Thanet Major, I loved it. I love the fact that there's legitimately a windmill, and that when I went, there were like two people just sat on top of the windmill watching the game. I was so jealous of their perch. I wanted to figure out how I could get myself up there and be like that much closer to the sun and get the vitamin D that I've been aggressively lacking in the last couple months. But yeah, those two 100% would be without even questioning, those would be my two.
Yeah. Great shouts. I think Racecourse should host the final, you know, even if they aren't a Cumbria Leagues team. But yeah, the spiritual home of Welsh football. Lewis, again, you've been to many a ground, north and south. What would you like to see represented in a Wales Euros bid?
Well, we're going to start off by resurrecting Farrow Road.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. Love it.
Knock the Asda down. And I want it to look exactly how it did. Yeah. In the late 2000s.
Yeah, it's a shame like they didn't knock it down and do what they do in St. Fagans, where they're like number the bricks so you can rebuild it exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's an idea if anyone from St. Fagans is listening. Rebuild Farrow Road at St. Fagans.
So we're having Farrow Road back at its peak.
Yeah.
And all the pubs in Lower Bang are going to be absolutely like full.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go to Gwalchmai, and we're going to take Maes Meirig.
Right. Talk me through it.
It was my first senior football team.
Okay.
It's actually held some of the Anglesey Island games.
Oh, of course. So
it's actually a fairly well-regarded pitch in North Wales. And Gwalchmai as a place is very... I can't even really think of many adjectives for it. It's so odd. It's not like any place you'd ever go to, ever. Mm. I love it.
So it's a good thing. I thought you were going to say it's a bad thing then.
Oh, no. It's not like there's no, like, it's not like troubled or anything. It's just like, I genuinely don't even know how to describe it. It's just very different to Bangor.
I've just Googled it and it looks nice.
It is very nice. And it's got like one of the biggest, well, you say this, I say this because I played for them, but one of the biggest sort of community feels of any football club I've ever played for. And I've only played for like three. So, but Gwalchmai, Maes Meirig. If you rattle off a few now, Ryan, I'll see if I can think more.
I feel like the Oval should be in it. I feel like that would be a great place to host football. And just for the slope as well, because it's hilarious. It makes me laugh every time I see it. What else? Where else could we go? Tom Pentra's ground. Big fan of that ground.
Ooh, yeah. Crappy, that's a very good shout.
Yeah, lovely ground with a lovely view. I'm going to have to say the center of the universe, Pennebont. You know, the metropolis that is Bridgend should host a game, and I'm sure Dibs will give everyone a nice warm welcome.
If we're resurrecting grounds, can I say the Vetch?
Yeah, throw the Vetch in. We'll, seeing as we're here, we'll get Ninian Park back as well. Why not? Trying to think if there's any others that jump
out. Abba Valley
have not been, but looks nice. And just because you've got to throw a shit win in Leckwith, because I hate it, why not? Got to have a shit win to like host, I don't know, Albania versus Slovakia in the group stages.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? There we are. There's some grounds for you for a hypothetical Euros hosted in Wales. Right, so we've come to the end of the podcast. Lewis, you'll be picking a track to play us out. Can I get your closing statements and what track you'll be picking?
Closing statements. Throw me in the bus here, but I completely forgot I was even picking the track. So,
did warn you before the pod, but you know.
You did. Closing statements. Right, okay.
There we are. What track are you picking, Lewis?
The track I'm picking is, I've picked them a few times before, but a band from Wrexham called the Royston Club and their latest single, Shallow Tragedy.
Lovely stuff. Megan, any closing statements from yourself?
I'm still thinking about what Lewis's would have been. So I think ending it on total silence, dumbfounded silence, is the way to go.
Yeah, okay. There we are. Thank you, as always, from me for everyone who listened. And thank you both for stepping in and doing a fine job. A fine
thank
job.
You. Some would argue. You're sort of like the Nathan Broadheads of the podcast world.
Yeah. You know, and 25 podcast appearances between you out of 95. You know, fair play to you both. You know, you are the true heroes of this podcast. It's easy to turn up every week like Kaus or Rodri. But, you know, you're big game players. You step up when you're needed. And like you said, yeah, the Nathan Broadheads of this podcast. So fair play and a fine job you've done. Usual stuff from me. Keep buying the magazine. There's still a few copies available on the website. We've got plenty of other stuff there as well. And yeah, just thanks again for listening. Numbers seem to be going up and up every week for the podcast. So that's nice. So tell your friends. Tell your colleagues, tell your pets, get everyone listening. It's a beautiful thing, Welsh football, and we will keep flying the flag for Welsh football at all levels of the game. So to play us out, it is the Royston Club with Shallow Tragedy. And on Megan's request, I'll finish the pod with some awkward silence.